Well, welcome back, Dad. Number two. Second Dad.
Now the real parenting begins. What's up with my volume?
I don't know. Maybe you need to plug in your mic.
Typical Micah tricks.
Why don't you plug in your mic? Why don't you start there? And then let's see what happens after you plug it in.
Look, typical Micah tricks.
Let's plug in your mic and see what happens after that.
Taking my microphone out.
Is it working now?
Testing.
What about now?
Testing.
There we are. You're like the worst co-host I've ever seen.
Man, I'm telling you. Unbelievable.
But you know what this is? You know why you didn't?
I wasn't even really off last week. You had me like tied up in a corner. Like,
nah, man, you got two kids now. Like, life is different. How much is the baby sleeping?
I mean, he's not bad overall. Like, he does sleep, but he'll, like, wake up,
right,
eat, sleep. You got to change him.
Does your wife make you, like, get up?
It's every couple hours. We take turns.
Oh, okay.
But regardless.
That's very progressive of you, Jonathan.
Thanks, man.
To take turns?
Try to do what I can.
Yeah? How long would that last for?
I don't know. See how long I keep it up. She deals with no sleep like way better than I do.
Really?
Yeah. So.
You were trying to talk into a mic that wasn't plugged in. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Starting off with a bang.
And then you want to try to tell me to buy Bitcoin right now. It's like, I'm probably buying into like a Ponzi scheme or something.
Oh, it absolutely is a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, welcome back.
Thanks, man.
And happy to have another Nevis in the world.
Yeah. Me too. Spread my seeds, you know.
Yeah, please don't ever say spread my seeds again on this podcast. It makes me uncomfortable.
Does it?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh. Okay. That's all I was going to say. I was just going to talk about spreading my seeds, so.
For the next 30 minutes.
Yeah, you just took away everything I was going to talk about.
Yeah, thanks. All right. Let's get this podcast fired up.
You're listening to the Common Sense Show. If you just started a new business, or if you're just thinking about it, this podcast is for you. Micah Logan and Jonathan Nevis have over 20 years of combined experience as successful entrepreneurs. The advice on this show is what they've used to build their businesses from single-member organizations to over multi-millions in revenue and multi-unit operations. Here are your hosts, Micah Logan and Jonathan Nevis.
Welcome to episode 42 of the Common Sense Show. I'm Micah.
I am Jonathan.
And we're just two common guys with business sense.
With business sense.
Jonathan, where can people find us on social media?
Yes, they can find us at facebook.com/thecommonsensepodcast.
Instagram.
At thecommonsensepodcast.
Twitter.
At sensepodcast. That's C-E-N-T-S.
And the show email.
info@thecommonsensepodcast.com.
And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Yes, subscribe, please.
Google Music, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Player FM. Wherever you listen to podcasts. Wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right.
And don't forget to join us at the Boston Small Business Expo on Tuesday, April 7th, at the George Sherman Union Building at Boston University. It is free to attend. You can network with how many entrepreneurs?
Thousands.
Thousands of entrepreneurs and business owners. There's over 20 free business workshops, speed networking exhibitors, and keynotes from leading industry experts.
Nice, man. It's, like you said, it's free to attend. It's on Tuesday, April 7th, at the George Sherman Union Building at Boston University. And you can register online at thesmallbusinessexpo.com.
That's T-H-E
smallbusinessexpo.com.
I literally knew that was going to happen. I'm living my best life. So today we're going to talk about the entrepreneur life. Why? Because you just had a change in your life. I thought it was appropriate that we put this in here today. How do you deal with changes in your life, shifts in your life when something new, even if it's happy, comes up? But it's more time. It's, you know, having going from one kid to two kids is it's tough, man. You know, it's significantly amount your workload increases significantly. It's double the work. It's double everything. So how do you deal with that? You know, when changes happen, how do you adjust for it? How do you manage it? What are some of the things that, for instance, you put in place in your business if you did anything or prepared yourself in any way, given that your wife works in the business with you before you had the kid?
Yeah, that was a really big concern of ours because she does a lot. There's a couple concerns. So one concern is that she does a lot of work. Mm-hmm. But kind of getting back onto the whole systems part anyways, our goal initially when she quit MIT to come on full-time was that she would continue to reduce her time at Green Energy to be at home more and to spend time with the kids and so forth and to raise a family. So this is kind of just forcing us to continue on that goal anyways.
Right.
Which is nice.
So you guys were like pushing it back kind of?
Yeah. And so we were like, okay, how do we figure out ways or other people, ways we can delegate a lot of your work? And so we've been doing that over time. It had to get obviously accelerated now that right, when she was pregnant. So we found, like, for instance, a bookkeeping company. We do a lot of like job costing notes per job to find out what our profit and loss is per job. Mm-hmm. So we had to find someone in-house that can do that.
Right.
It's just stuff like that. And then also like more hats are being worn by other people in the company. But I think it's a good thing because, again, like, it forced us to kind of grow into like an uncomfortable place where it's like, man, like she's not going to be there to double check everything. So it put more on me to be able to make sure. But also I noticed my office manager has really stepped up in that regard. Mm-hmm. Where like just for instance, 20 minutes ago, she's like, guys, I need you to make sure you're like labeling all the receipts for the job so I can put the notes in. And like, she's really on top of it, where before she really didn't care about that stuff. So,
right. Yeah. The funny thing is that, you know, you're right about that in the sense that like you have to start creating systems that actually work. So for instance, because your wife worked well in your business and she handled everything a certain way and it helped your business to grow, your systems can't just be functional, they have to actually be good systems that actually work and are worthwhile. So what, you know, when I think when you're establishing, when you have these, when you have, before you have unexpected life changes or even expected life changes, we all need to be working on our business as if we're going to sell it, close it, or like we're going to have a life change that you can't recover from. So like what happens, like, you know, God forbid, of course, but what happens if either you or me have a stroke, you know, and we're in the business? Like, what happens?
Why are you always trying to kill me off? Why, like, can't I just live my best life?
You know, I think you only have, like, according to my actuarial estimates, you only have, like, 20 years left, I think.
So messed up.
But, you know, my point is, like,
Micah tells me that I'm going to die at, like, 50. Well, first of all, I was, like, 56. Now it seems like it's dropped 2 years.
I think
years.
It's, like, 60. No, it's, like, 62, I think.
You think 62?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. Like, right before you collect Social Security, if it's still around.
That actually does sound like it would happen to me.
Yeah,
like.
I think so.
Exactly what happened. Yeah. We're retiring next month.
I mean, to be fair though, like I think I'm gonna go at like 61. So like, you know, maybe we'll go together.
Kind of cool.
Know? Yeah. Well, not really. Probably go on like an airplane on the way to like a trade show or something. But anyways, like, you know, when unexpected life events happen, like this is the whole point of getting your business together and creating a manual, a guidebook, an operations manual that you can use to pass on to somebody that can run your business. That's the level of efficiency you have to have in your business so that somebody else can actually run your play.
100%. It's actually started to make us have talks internally about, listen, like, in addition, I'm trying to do the same thing. It's one of my goals this year is, like, how can I start to give up some of the work that I'm doing? You know, a big job that I do is sales. So I'm trying to figure out, like, how can I start implementing someone else to do a lot of the sales. You know, I don't mind doing it part-time, but, you know, if I could give that up, that'll free me up a lot to be able to work on other things to help grow the company. So,
yeah, like, what does Mike Michalowicz, the author of Clockwork, said that, you know, it's the queen bee role. Like, there's only one queen bee per hive. That queen is the one who lays the eggs for other bees, and everyone else has a job that works around that to support the fact that she's laying the eggs for everyone and creating a population. And so he calls them queen bee roles, the person with the job of certain importances that control a lot of what the function is, and you know, when you're trying to figure out who will fit these queen bee roles or your queen bee role in general as a company owner, like, it's really hard. I think one of the hardest things to do is to get what's in your head on paper. I have no idea why that is. Maybe it's because there's so many nuances that you've never explained.
Yeah, it's hard to find a starting point, probably.
But I think that one suggestion I have for finding that starting point is to just start writing, documenting everything. So what I mean by that is, when you go on a sales call, or for what I did was when I went to one of my facilities and I was going through like a shift or whatever the thing you're doing is, you just document everything. So instead of trying to figure out exactly what you do, just write down what you do, you know, and then you can pare it down later. So for instance, open the door, turn on the lights, put this here, put that there, boot up the computer, all that stuff. Just literally like document every single step that you take in the function of your job. And then you start to pare it down into steps. So like once you go through an entire day in the function of what you specifically do, then you can start pulling away the fluff that, you know, like I walked in and like, you know, I did this, you know, like I picked up a cup on the floor or something. Like, you know, you could take that stuff out and leave it with the main functions. But I think the best way to start is just to write down everything that you do, you know, during the day. Or, you know, another thing you can do is you can just hire somebody, give them like, you know, $15 an hour to follow you for the day, 8 hours.
They're always exploiting people. Like, why can't they make?
No, they can't make more than $15. And then basically what you're going to do is you're going to have them write down everything that you do for the day.
Yeah. No, that's a good...
Actually, it really, really helps.
That could work.
And then tell them like to make it in a list. Like, okay, I need you to write down everything I do in the day. And I think when you see that, you're going to be like, holy smokes. I want you to write down everything I did, how I did it, you know? And then like they'll be writing and you're just going to sit there and do your regular thing. And every time you do something, they'll be writing. And then you can pare it down, you know, but that's a great way to start. If you don't know how to create a system for yourself, then just write a big volume of something and then go from there.
Right. So, yeah, there's that way, especially if you're going to keep things internally done. That's a really good way. Sometimes it might make more sense to do things like externally and just outsource for it. And that's, in my opinion, another really easy way to create a system for something. You still have a system to manage that outsource company or person, whoever you're hiring. But that's one way to do it. Sometimes it works out better. Like, you know, there's a lot of costs associated with like hiring, like, you know, 'cause sometimes with these systems, you need to have more people that are working in your company to work on these systems. And, you know, you got to pay workman's comp and benefits and da da da, especially in Massachusetts. It's nicknamed Taxachusetts for a reason. So sometimes it's kind of nice to just be like, all right, cool. I have this outside company. I expect them to do, you know, A, B, C, D. And I want that done at this deadline that we create. So I kind of like it sometimes for that as well. But I agree with you. That's exactly what I've been doing with my sales is, hey, I'm doing this specific job. I just started creating templates for everything. So that way I have it all down, ready to go. You know what I'm saying?
I do. The other thing too is so we just hired a bookkeeper too, and
yeah,
it's been hard. Like, you know, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just lazy. I feel like I need an in between. Like, I want someone to actually do the work for the bookkeeper instead of sending it. Like, you know, I still have to like send statements and stuff
myself. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
it's just like, ugh, it's so annoying. It's like, and so this is why I stopped with the bookkeeping last time. I'm like, well, if I need to send you statements, like, what do I need you for? And I end up doing the whole thing again. But like, it's a bad policy. I think that when you create these systems and you put people in place to execute them, then just like you're investing in the stock market, like we were talking about earlier, you just leave it, you know, don't retreat from it.
Yeah.
You know, look at it as an investment into the future of your business and scaling your business in the right way. You know, don't like pull back.
Yeah.
And try to like claw back those responsibilities.
I think that's like, I always try to, if we start doing something new, I always try to make that a goal. Like, we're not taking this back. Like, it's out there. It is what it is, you know? Like, even for instance, with my wife not working, like, So our goal for her coming back is she was working 4 days a week.
Right.
I want her to work 2 days a week now. So.
But what does she want, Jonathan?
Oh, that's what she wants.
Oh, okay. Is it because it's what you want? I'm going to tell her to listen to this episode.
Good luck. No, but no, so, and that way she'll have 3 days to spend with the family and get things done. And,
right, yeah.
But my point is kind of cool is
get things done.
She's not even working at all now in the company at all. So for her to come back 2 days will actually be like,
right.
By the time she does, but this is awesome. So.
And she'll probably do more work in those 2 days than a person would do in like a week anyway.
I feel like that's kind of like the MO when you own a company. Like even myself, like I'll bang out tons of work in like 3-4 hours and.
Right, yeah. It takes them like a week to do it.
Where, like, people working at companies, like, did you get this done yet? Like, I don't understand, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't work by the hour.
Yeah.
Because if you work by the hour, it's like, sir, I need you to write this email up and send it out. Sure, I'll get to that tomorrow. Like,
right,
whereas with me, it's like, get it done. Like,
you just milk it, yeah. Because you don't get paid any more or any less if you don't get it done. In fact, it's worse for you because then you have to do it another day in addition to everything else you have to do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I'll work at any time, like, at all. It'll be 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, hey, you know what? Let me fire up the computer. And
what's the latest you work? Is that it?
Oh, I'll work whenever. If I get up, I mean, great example. Like, I was up with this whole baby situation, and she took over,
whole
and I was
baby situation.
Wide open.
That sounds like a paternity problem.
I was working at 2 in the morning. Like,
and this baby situation had me tossing and turning all night. I didn't know if I was the father.
So, no, I don't, it doesn't, whatever.
So you were doing work at like 2, were you emailing at 2 in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's nice because then your email's like the first one in the morning that they see.
I think people like that too. I mean, maybe not that late, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
man, this guy never sleeps. I want to hire him.
Yeah. I think they like it though.
Yeah. So I think not clawing back a responsibility that you've given to someone is important. And like you said, changing the expectation of how you do the. Change the expectation of how much you work on that when you come back is a big thing too. Like when your wife comes back, her going down the 2 days instead of 4, it's just an expectation now that I'm only working 2 days. It kind of forces you into that,
mm-hmm.
but you got to maintain that. Another way to kind of, so in addition to outsourcing and then writing everything you do down. Now I want to just push back on something. Outsourcing and writing down the operations model are two different things. You said you want to keep it internal. So what I'm saying is, like, you need to write it down anyway because you need to create an operations model because that's what's going to sell your business. If you try to sell your business without an operating plan and just on numbers alone, you're going to get less money.
Oh, yeah.
You need both.
I mean, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. So, but taking these actions certainly do help drive that, but they have to be written down. And one of the things when we had Vicky Gray on that you appreciated about her is that she had her operations model kind of broken out into years, which is a little aggressive. I don't think you need to do that, right? Or is it by project?
Yeah, she had by like SOPs for every project.
Mm, interesting. Which is nice, but that is a lot of work. There may be a more baseline way to do that. I think that, you know, you have to figure out globally what's going to be the best for your company in general, what's going to move it forward. So what do you think is going to be the result of your wife only working 2 days? And then is this going to force you to analyze your own involvement on a regular basis?
Yeah, so. I mean, I already have been. I work 5 days a week, but I pretty much really only work 4 days a week. But
if you add up the hours.
Yeah, but I'm trying to, like, I don't actively go out and do quotes and office stuff or anything on Thursdays. I kind of just, I might write a couple emails up or whatever, right. And then we do the show.
Right.
So that's pretty much my whole day.
Are you going to dress like this when you're fully retired?
Oh, I can't wait, dude.
Really?
Yeah, I love sweatpants and it's the best.
I live my life in sweatpants.
It's like, it's awesome.
But the problem is, like, it's hard to tell whether you've gained or lost weight in sweatpants because they fit all the time.
That's why I like it.
You can grow or shrink in them without even knowing.
My wife hates it though. She's just like, will you please like dress up sometimes? Like Walmart is like my number one store to buy clothes. And she's like, you literally look like a dad bod like all the time. Like, you just dress like a dad. Like,
I think my wife has just gotten used to my sweats now. Like, because, you know, I mean, it's my job, but I don't do as much training and stuff as I used to. So it's like, I don't even know why. Like, today, like, there was no reason for me to wear sweatpants. I could have actually legitimately worn clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, man. Like, I'll be at, I'm not even kidding. I'll be at Walmart looking at sweatpants. Like, all right, so these ones are $14.99. These ones are $12.99. I was like going back and forth. I'm like, why should I get this $14.99 one? She's like, are you serious right now? Like,
yeah, that is totally me. My wife thinks I am the cheapest man on earth because I do the unit cost for like paper towels and toilet paper. Like, and I actually make a decision based off of unit cost and per roll cost. Like, it's just like, well, why would I pay? You know, the funny thing is when you actually do the cost of similarly priced items without comparing what's in there, you could pay like three times more.
The marketing is really interesting on certain things. I agree with you. I do this. I mean, I don't always do it, but when I'll be really shocked at that. Like, wow, like they make you feel like this is a bargain. But like you said, when you look at the unit cost, it's like, ah.
Right. There's got to be a lesson in it for us somehow. Some way, how we're packaging and how we're marketing our businesses to, you know, maybe we're doing it wrong this entire time, you know, because like literally, like you could go and buy paper towels and it's just like, oh, well, this is like $3 for $5 or these are $8.99. And you just automatically assume that the $8.99 one is, you know, more expensive. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily more expensive, you know, it's like you got to look at what you're getting, how many ply, how many sheets you're getting. Like there's a big thing there.
Yeah.
Know? And although buying at Costco is probably usually the way to go. And Costco is actually a really good company to their employees and to their shareholders. They do an excellent job at balancing.
I like Costco.
I now own Costco stock. I'm a proud owner of Costco stock.
That's really what it came down to.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, no, but I do believe in Costco for sure. So, you know, systems in your business, when it comes to trying to slowly get out of the grind are important when life changes happen. And then, you know, other thing too is like, you know, when life changes happen, you got to think about what's your intention. Oftentimes now, even more so now with two kids, you're going to have to think about what's the future of your business. You know,
yeah.
What does it look like? What does it feel like? And what are you going to do with it?
I think too, like just more in like the immediate is what was really hard is so our son came 2 weeks early. So we weren't really like ready for it per se. Like we thought he might have come like a week early, but 2 weeks was pretty interesting and everything got like changed and switched. And then I was at the hospital for 2.5 days or whatever.
I remember. Yeah.
Then we were like there for the rest of the week. And then it's like, I come back and I got all this old stuff I have to work on. Cause like you said, there's no one else that's doing it.
Right.
And then all this new stuff that's there. And not to mention, you've been like chilling, holding a baby, sleeping, eating food. It's like the last thing you want to do is like get back in the grind and get back to work and stuff like that. So like, I think that's another important piece too, which I just kind of like, just tell myself like, dude, like man up, like get up and like, just let's go crush it. It's time to get back to work and kill it. And I think like things happen in life, man. Sometimes you changes come, you know. I think I talked about it before, but that book, Who Moved My Cheese, it's really good when it comes to like change and how to deal with it in life.
No, I never heard of that one.
No, it's short read. It's really good, but we'll talk about it one day on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But
I have to read it. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a good, actually, it's a really good book for your employees too.
So what am I holding here?
Two pieces of crap?
Yeah, two phones, man. So I just made this decision that I'm going to do two phones. You talk about...
Two iPhones?
Yeah, like, you talk about, like, life and responsibility and work and stuff like that. I decided to go with two phones, man. No, like, and not just because two phones, but one is going to be now going to be my work phone, my old phone, and one's going to be, like, my regular personal phone. And
have you been watching Power or something?
No. And it has made a huge difference in...
How much drugs I'm selling.
Yes. My mindset, you know, in terms of like work.
Yeah.
Because I can actually, the physical act of turning off a phone and putting it away for a weekend or an evening is great.
That's why I can't get a hold of you.
It's awesome. And I did it. And then all hell broke loose like the first 2 days. Like I get back to the phone and then people are like, I didn't send my personal number. Well, I keep it private. So I didn't send that personal number to like the person cause we invited a family over. And then like, my employee was trying to get in on Saturday morning to the facility. He's like, oh, the lock is broken and all this other stuff. But I never turned on the phone. But now I just realized in general, I'm like, you know what? Nobody died and nobody didn't become a member because because of that, and it didn't affect my business. You know what that means? Like, it's literally okay if stuff happens without you there. Because if it's an honest-to-goodness emergency, people will actually call the police. They'll call 911, right? Like, that has nothing to... Like, if they can't get a hold of you, they'll either figure it out, if you empower them to, like Leaders Eat Last says, if you empower your employees to do so. Or, like, you know, they'll call 911.
It's funny you say that, because we just had this conversation Monday. And I was talking with the girls at the office, and they were asking me a few questions. I'm like, so listen, like, in the same, you know, theme with DeVisio not being here, you kind of having to make executive decisions, you got to start looking at some of these things. Like, what would I do if Jonathan isn't around and he can't ask these questions? Because at some point, that's what's going to happen. Like, that's where things are going. Like, I'm not going to be here. And it's cool because, like, the rest of the week, it kind of, like, set the tone. So, like... like I sent out an email to a customer, and there was some pricing that didn't look right. So they just sent it back like, hey, and we normally charge this, but you only charge that. Like, you know, I just want to make sure I catch that before, where they normally probably wouldn't have caught it, but because they have this theme of like, I need you guys to really start taking ownership. Like, if there's anything I'm trying to change this year with the company, it's like, you know, again, we might talk about this on another show, hopefully when I can implement it. But, you know, switching the guys to flat rate pricing per job and stuff. The whole point of this whole thing is, like, I need people just taking ownership and running with it. You know, and empowering them to make decisions as if they're business owners themselves.
Yeah. That is huge. And mainly it's huge because business owners, I mean, employees need to feel empowered that they can make decisions. And they will if you allow them
to. And I think they like that.
Of course they do. Who doesn't want to be in control of their work and how they actually execute their work?
They go home, tell their wife or spouse, like, yeah, you know, I'm the one that made that call and, you know.
Right, exactly. And then you give them confidence, you know, moving forward. And no, it's true. Like, I really think that employees want to – not only do you give them self-esteem, you make them feel valued because you're actually letting them know that their input or their voice actually matters. You know, and that's what they want to know. People want to know that they can make a difference in a company too. In addition, like, they may not have big grand plans of wanting to make a difference in the world, but like the place that they work, they want to know they can make a difference. And if you can allow that to happen, you know, good on you.
Sure, man.
But this two phone thing is going to be, it's going to be interesting. And I'm really committed to it, which is why I got a whole nother expensive one because,
I know you did.
I think it's important to, you know, to unplug, you know, on a regular basis. And I think an effect of getting the second phone has been the clarity of thought that I have. Because what happens is, you know, as an entrepreneur, you get like these brief moments of time when no one's contacting you. And so you don't think about work necessarily in those moments. And then you get an email. And then it sets off a chain reaction in your head about a bunch of things you need to do. Mm-hmm. And then you think about that for the rest of the night or something, or like for like an hour or two. But like when I have the other phone off, like that moment never comes until I turn it back on. And I notice that my mind is not wandering to what's happening on the phone. And I, you know, I personally couldn't control the thought like of like looking at my phone. People are like, oh, well, why don't you just not answer your email? Okay. Why do you look at your text every time someone texts you?
Yeah.
Because
it's addicting, man.
Yeah, if you could control not looking at your text or your email, then you know you would just
You're do a it. Serial killer.
You may be a serial killer. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Like
I feel you.
Like could you go like a week or like a weekend without looking at business emails that come to your phone?
No. I am addicted to it. I'll like look at it. I might be on Facebook or something. Get out of it. Go back at my email just to see if it like refreshed in like 2 minutes.
And then spend time refreshing it. Like even when you're refreshing it, you're like
man, and I don't think funny. Anything of it. I'm not like.
The funny thing is that, you know, have you ever gone like, I don't know, like an hour or two without getting any emails just because? Like, and then you're just like, no one emailed me? This is weird. I've gone 2 hours without anybody contacting me, you know? And you're like, this can't be right. There has to be something broken with the server. That was this morning.
Yeah.
I woke up, it was like no emails. I'm like, oh, shoot. Something's wrong.
Something's up.
You know, it's funny. I don't know why, as entrepreneurs, we always put ourselves in that position where Where it's like, if we can't control something or something not happening exactly how it's supposed to, something is wrong out there in the ether. But maybe the thing is, like, you're just creating a machine for yourself in your company, and you're doing things right, and they're getting taken care of, and you're becoming more efficient with your what you're doing, which is why you don't have those problems.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Because, you know, that's our goal ultimately. But how do we know that we're there, that we've created enough systems, efficient systems to work? Well, you're going to get less calls, you're going to get less emails, you're going to get less of all the other stuff. It's going to feel a lot relaxing to own a business. And then you're going to be like, okay, this seems like too quiet. You know, when you're still in the grind, you're always going to feel like you're missing something or that something's happening.
Yeah. But you'll be all right. I mean, just make sure you have those KPIs and you're monitoring. I mean, that's really what you should be doing. That's the time for that. Like, that's what I want to do anyways. Like, my master plan is to be able to, like, go to my office, you know, ride into my office on my, like, electric bike or something from my house and go, or maybe, you know, drive there and I have, like, my dog with me.
Watch cat like YouTube videos, dog. Like, every day.
And all I do is look at KPIs all day and make phone calls on how to grow the business. And
yeah, that's literally my dream, too. Is your wife calling you? Oh, that's my phone.
That's your burner phone.
I'm not used to that yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Ghost.
All right.
You ready to wrap this up?
Yeah. Let's get out of here. So, anyways, so yeah. So when unexpected things happen in business,
you... Clearly did not get that joke, by the way.
You adjust. You adapt. Is that a Game of Thrones?
No. Power.
I don't even watch that show.
Apparently.
Anyways, you adjust, you adapt, you move on. And you create systems that will outlast you so that you can make sure that they are, you know, that your business is structured right and runs like a dream. All right, Jonathan, you got to get out of here. So where can people find us on Facebook?
Facebook.com/TheCommonSensePodcast.
Instagram.
@TheCommonSensePodcast.
Twitter.
@SensePodcast. It's very aggressive.
Show email.
info@TheCommonSensePodcast.com.
I had something to say. I'm creating courses.
You are?
Yeah, online courses.
Oh, that's cool.
It's called Small Business Success, modeled after our Facebook group, which I just made public, by the way.
I saw.
I moved it from private to public because I want more engagement in there. And I'm going to create these online courses where people can go through them and take. And the first course is about building simple business systems.
Hmm.
You know?
Let's talk about it. Yeah, next week or something. Let's
yeah.
talk about it.
Yeah, we'll do that. But until then, you can join us at Boston Small Business Expo on Tuesday, April 7th at the George Sherman Union Building at Boston University. Don't forget, it is free to attend.
Free 99.
You can network with thousands of business owners and entrepreneurs, over 20 business workshops, speed networking exhibitors, keynotes from leading industry experts at the Boston Small Business Expo.
I'm looking forward to those workshops. Hopefully we can...
Well, how are you going to look at the... We're supposed to be broadcasting live.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. Like, I'm going to have to take a break at some point.
So maybe we're going to have to start planning our actual booth there at some point.
Nobody's at the booth.
Yes. We literally haven't even spent... We have shirts for the booth, for the expo. That's literally
it. Well, we have like... 15 shirts.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing else. All right. So join us there. Register online at thesmallbusinessexpo.com. That's THE smallbusinessexpo.com. That's my son breaking something in the other room. All right. We're out of here. Until next time, use your common sense in your business.
And your business will grow.
But for that, for now, it's time for Baby Watch.
That's right.
Bye. Like you're cross-eyed. You come in here look like... Never see. You just look like...
Got my dad jacket on. And high water pants.
You remember the jeans that Obama wore when he threw out the first pitch? That's what Jonathan's wearing right now. They flare at the bottom. And then, like, it's tucked into, like, a thick construction belt. It's like...
right?
You look like you just stepped out of a Glad bag.